Lord, today, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we will hear and we will apply a truth to our lives that we might be transformed into the image of your Son, Jesus,
yes, Lord.
In whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to 2 Chronicles. I'm going to preach some Old Testament stuff, yeah. That's one thing I love about praise and worship. Pastor's been teaching on worship the last couple of weeks, and it's been so good, and it's really stirred in my heart. I am a worshiper. I've been a worshiper for many, 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 many years, and I love to worship the Lord. And when he started this, I said, man, I've got some things I'd love to share. And so this opportunity opened up, and I'm glad to be able to be here and to share this with you guys and say a couple of things that I hope will stir you in your worship life and help you see some things maybe that you've probably seen before, but it's like, you know, it's like Paul said, I'm going to put you in remembrance. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I need to put my remembrance more and more every day. It seems like the older I get, the quicker I forget. But I want to put us in remembrance of some good worship principles and some good worship things. And here in 2 Chronicles, it says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and underline this, and seek my face. 2 Chronicles, I'm sorry, I didn't tell you the scripture, did I? 7:14. It might help if I put my glasses on. I sat on them so they're crooked, so if I look lopsided, it's because I sat on them. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. You know this verse. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. And we're all about getting our land healed. We're all about getting all the stuff that God has for us and having our needs met and all that kind of thing. But there's some prerequisites to get there. And the first thing is we've got to humble ourselves and pray and seek his face. When I got born again, I was seeking the face of God. I was raised in church, knew about God, knew about the Lord, but I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew that he was not residing on the inside of me. And I'd done all the things that you're supposed to do in order to be born again, but it wasn't a reality. It wasn't a real experience in my heart. It wasn't a real experience in my life. Being a singer, I had sang all my life and sang in choirs. We sang this song, the words, if my people, which are called by my name. It was very classical, very big church thing. And those words would not leave me. And I got down on my knees. I was in a situation, had lost everything, didn't have anything, you know how we do. I was on my knees, on my face before God. And I said, Lord, I really don't even know what this means, this is between me and you. And I said, your word says that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Now, the only thing I know that humbling yourselves means, and it's a whole lot more than this, but it was a beginning. I was 20 years old. I got on my knees beside my little bed, and I said, I'm humbling myself. And turned from, I said, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. And I said, Lord, I don't have anything else to do but pray. I'm here seeking you and seek my face. Now, I didn't know what it meant to seek the face of God. And in my 20-year-old brain, I took my hands and I cupped them over my eyes so there would be no light coming from anywhere. And in my 20-year-old brain, I just said, God, I just want to see your face. That's all I want to do. And I was in that position on my knees besides that bed, humbling myself, praying, and seeking the face of God. That day, I believe, began a birthing of worship in me. Because that's what worship is all about. Is we're seeking the face of God. I said this before, we've heard songs about this, that true praise and worship is not for us, it's for him. See, we have an audience of one. It's for him. And so in our praise and in our worship service, that should be majorly on our mind, is that, man, I'm not singing so that everybody around me can hear how loud I sing, or how well I sing, or how bad I sing, or, you know, I've told you this before. My mama has one note, but she sings her one note for the Lord. No matter what song she's singing, it's the same note, and it's the same note through the same song. Now, to man's ears, it's not a really pretty thing. But you know, some of the greatest memories of my life is my mama singing her one note to the Lord. is me sitting over there on the dining room table eating my lunch, and Mama standing at the kitchen table washing dishes. We had four youngins, and she was always in the kitchen. So, you know, she was over there washing dishes, singing her one note to the Lord. She'd have her gospel station on, and she'd sing her one note to the Lord. And I can remember even as a child thinking, Mama, that sounds terrible. But I never said that, because I didn't want to hurt Mama's feelings. But she sang her note to the Lord. And, you know, and that's what true praise and worship is. In the early, the mid-70s and the 80s is when praise and worship started making an entrance into the church in greater level than we had seen prior to that. Prior to that, most music in the church was hymns, and I love hymns. There's some great hymns, but most of it was we sang songs about God. We sang songs about the kingdom of heaven. We sang songs about the future in the sweet by and by. We sang songs about all this stuff that was going to happen, but it wasn't a whole lot of reality but what's happening right now. And then things started changing in the church. I got spirit filled and began to not be in such a negative thing, a high church atmosphere, and started coming into churches where people played guitars and drums. And I mean, you know, that was almost like falling out material, that there were guitars and drums in the church. And see, now it's normal, but back then it wasn't. And I still love that, but I thank God that I was able to move into what is praise and worship. And we began to sing not about God, we began to sing to God. We began to sing songs that were scripture songs, and that started making a difference. We started hearing some things that were different, and we started finding out that there was a change happening in my heart. He says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Well, y'all, that was an easy one, because nobody has to tell you what your wicked way is. We all know. You know, we can act pretty in church all day long, but the truth of the matter is, Mike knows what Mike is. Mike knows what's going on inside of Mike. And you know what's going on inside of you. And I'm thankful to find a church that's not looking for all the good and the bad. We're just looking for a group of people who want to honor Him. Amen. And we come as we are, and we'll let God do what's necessary. Amen. Amen. If I have to be the one to change you, then I have to be the one to keep you changed. But if Jesus changes you, guess what? Jesus has the power, the ability, the authority, and everything He needs to keep you changed. Amen. If you try to change me and you say something that makes me want to do some differences, then I'm going to look to you to keep me changed. And guess what I've learned, y'all? In and of myself, I hadn't got enough power to light a match, much less try to keep somebody changed. But I know who can. Amen. And He's changing me day to day, day by day, and it's working. But if you'll humble yourselves and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, He says, then I'll hear from heaven, will forgive your sins, and will heal your land. In my salvation process, that's exactly what I went through. He heard my prayer. I believed it. He began to make a difference in my life, and He began to heal my land. And I truly got born again. So that was a great experience. But it was also the beginning of understanding how to seek the face of God. Now, this hasn't got a lot to do with worship, but I want to give you these three things. Three ways that we as the children of God seek the face of God. Three ways. Very simple. You're going to say, well, that was too simple to write down. But if you write it down, you can do like I do. And every once in a while, I look over your notes and you go, you know what, Lord, that's right. And I'll stir myself up in it. Number one, how we seek the face of God is prayer. Prayer. Now, I love the fact that we're learning that our life is a lifestyle of prayer. But because your life is a lifestyle of prayer, it never takes away the importance of that alone time with God. I can remember going away with some men one time to just get away and relax and seek the face of God. And one of the guys was a good bit older than I am, and he got up really early in the morning, and I'm an early riser. And I thought what I'd do is get up and get coffee going for everybody. And I got up, and we were up in the mountains, and it was a little bit chilly. And I remember I walked up the stairs to the kitchen to start the coffee for everybody, and I looked through the glass door, and this older gentleman was out there on the patio. And his Bible in one hand and his pen in the other hand, but he was looking straight up into the heavens. And he was moving his mouth. You know, obviously he was talking with God. And I stood there and I watched him. And I said, Lord, this man understands an aspect of prayer that I want so evident in my life that I can have my Bible in one hand, my pen in the other, and I'm not concerned with either. I'm just concerned with you. And I watched him, and I stood there for, I'm talking 45 minutes until other people started stirring. I never made the coffee until everybody else got up. But I watched him as he began to commune with God. And he began to talk with God. And I'd see him shake his head. And that, y'all, you know, when somebody's shaking their head, they're hearing something. And I mean, it had an impact on me. I watched this gentleman have communion with God. And that, to me, is a true prayer life. And he'd smile, and then sometimes he'd wipe a tear. And y'all, you don't get that because you're trying to play in front of a bunch of people to look like you're holy. You get that when you set yourself aside and you come away and you sit down and you spend that time with God. So prayer is a very important thing. Number two, the way we seek the face of God is by word study, by the Bible. And it was funny, as I was thinking about these things yesterday, all three of them brought me something to think about. Let me say this about prayer. A couple of weeks ago, my daughter comes and spends the night with me on Monday nights. And a couple of Monday nights ago, she was there and we'd talked and we spent some time together. And then I went to bed and she went to bed. And I have a little garage apartment that I live in. And I have my bedroom, but in one end of the dining room, there's actually a bed there for Stephanie. I call that Stephanie's room as my dining room. But anyway, so Stephanie's laying there in the bed. Well, I got up to go check something, and she was laying there looking straight up. And her eyes were really big, and I thought, uh-oh, something's wrong. And I walked over, and I said, are you okay? And she kind of went like this, and she said, Daddy, I was praying. I'm telling you why, they know nothing. Encourage a daddy to know his daughter's laying there praying. Amen. She's communion with God. Now, she didn't have to do that to impress me. She didn't know I was in the room. She was doing that because she has a relationship with the Lord. And, you know, my prayer is if no one ever sees her do it again, that she'll continue that communion time with God just as that gentleman was doing that day. One morning I got up in the foothills. I was in the foothills of North Carolina in this little house that we were in. And I got up. We had a wood-burning stove is how we heated the house. And I got up that morning to stir the wood and make sure there was enough because it was really cold. It was about 5 in the morning. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. I came around the corner of my hallway, looked down the hall. My parents were visiting. And we had a love seat that sat this way and a sofa that sat this way, and the heater was on the other side of that. But sitting there on the love seat with the lamp on was my father, and he was reading the Word. You see, you can seek the Lord in many, many, many ways, but you learn so much when you seek Him in His Word. And that moment will forever be in my brain of me getting up in the morning at 5 o'clock in the morning to go stoke the fire. And there sits my dad reading the Word. And a lot of times in earthly situations, we wonder about our parents. my dad and my relationship was not a really good relationship growing up. But I want you to know my opinion of my dad changed that day in a great measure because he wasn't sitting down there to impress anybody. He was in there spending his time in the Word. And it is a way we seek the face of God. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that seek God and they're not getting the Word, and a lot of them are kind of squirrely. I don't know if you've seen, we call them granola Christians. Flakes, nuts, and raisins, but whatever they are. There's a lot of granola Christians out there. I mean, you just have no idea what's going on. You know what that is? That's a person who's not grounded in the Word of God. Because, I mean, a lot of times we get in our praise and worship and we get real expressive. We can look a little silly. And I'm telling you what, I'm willing to look silly for God. If he wants my silliness, I've danced before thousands of people in praise and worship before, and you know, somebody my size don't look too good dancing, but I'm not dancing for them, I'm dancing for the Lord. So I might look a little silly, but I thank God that I'm grounded in the Word, and I know that when David brought the Ark of the Covenant in, he got so excited, he tore off some outer clothing and began to dance before the Lord, and somebody was judging him, but God looked on David's heart. And David was willing to get ecstatic about God. So things change. So we seek the face of God in prayer. We seek the face of God in the Word. And another place that we seek the face of God is in our praise and our worship. If we could get this, it would make so much difference in how everything else goes in our services and in our life. And I want to say this too. I think this is very important. Is if the only time you pray is at church, if the only time you read your Word is at church, and if the only time you spend time in praise and worship is at church, then it's not praise and worship. It's performance. And it's not getting you or God or anybody else anywhere. Because when we come together and we pray, when we come together and we read the Word, when we come together and we lift up our hands and we begin to worship the Lord, we begin to praise, we begin to worship the Lord, that should all be an outgrowth of what we've been doing all week long. It was about 1981, 82, right before Christopher was born. Was beginning to seek the Lord about praise and worship, because I had been in music, like I said, all my life, and could read music and thought that, you know, if you played with guitar chords, then you didn't know what you were doing. Now I can't play notes anymore. I can only watch the guitar chords, and I can't play the piano, but I'm learning. But I'll never forget. Somebody gave me a cassette tape, and I put it in my little cassette player, and I put on some headphones, and I was laying in bed waiting to go to sleep at night, and I was laying there and was listening to this guy. I don't know if y'all have ever heard of him. I'm sure you probably have. His name is Phil Driscoll, and he used to come up to our church because he was from Chattanooga, and he would play his trumpet and sing his songs in our church, and he'd do stuff with our youth group. This was way back when Phil was just a young man. And but anyway, so I was listening to this song, and he was singing, "Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to the Lord." Now, I don't sound anything like Phil Driscoll, because he's got a real raspy, almost sounds like he's been smoking cigarettes for 30 years, because he's got this real raspy voice, but it's a great voice. It's an incredible voice. And I was laying there listening to this, and I was contemplating and thinking about the change in music, and I was saying, "Lord, I really don't know about worshiping you in this manner, but I want to learn." And I remember laying there in that bed, and I was saying, "Lord, I'm just seeking your face," and Phil Driscoll singing that song. And then all of a sudden, and I know we don't go on feelings, but we sure don't run them off when they happen. Amen. I was laying there, and it was as if anointing warm oil went from the top of my head all the way down to my feet. And y'all, I knew I was in the presence of God. The first time I ever experienced that. And I laid there in that bed, and I was scared to open my eyes. I didn't know what I'd see. I lay there in that bed, and I began to weep, and I began to cry, and I began to say, "Oh, Lord, what is this? What is this? What is this?" And in my simple, really not very intelligent mind at that point in my life, I didn't know what was happening. But, y'all, I was experiencing the presence of God. That day, my hunger for praise and worship just exploded, because that's something that once you've tasted of, you've got to have more. I know people with addictions, and I've had some dealings with addictions in my life. And I know that when you have addictive behavior, I mean, that stuff will call on you. I have an addiction to Wendy's restaurant. At 3 o'clock in the morning, I can hear Wendy's calling my name. And you know what? Now they happen to be open, some of them. And so it gets exciting. But, I mean, Wendy's calls my name. And there's something about that hamburger. First Wendy's hamburger I ever ate. I've never been right since. I love Wendy's hamburgers. And they call me. But there was something about that experience of experiencing the presence of God that I've never been able to get over. And I cry for that. I, I press for that. I want to experience that more and more and more. And it's amazing as I look back now over the last 30 years as I've been learning about praise and worship, learning about prayer, learning about word, learning about these things. Y'all, God is so faithful. And you know, He wants to show Himself in your life and in my life in so much greater measure than we can understand, that if we could just get revelation of us, we'd all be walking with the manifested, expressed presence of God everywhere we go. Now, when the church understands praise and worship, I'm preaching my sermon without looking at my notes. It's another miracle. When the church understands that we can seek the face of God through our prayer time, through our word time, and through our praise and worship, there's a twofold result that happens. I'm going to look so I might say it right. There's a twofold result that happens. Number one, and this is what Pastor's been preaching about, we began to be transformed into the image of God. That's what happens. See, we can't be like God if we're not around Him. We don't understand Him if we're not with Him. But when we hang out with Him, we can become more and more like Him. We want to emulate that which is better. Amen? See, there's some folks in our lives, we don't want to be like them. We can hang out with them about 5 minutes and we understand, I'm not doing this. I'm not hanging out with this because I've been there before, done that, got the scars, the t-shirts and everything else, and I'm not going back to that way. But then when you get in the presence of God, you say, Lord, I want to be like that. I want some more of that. I want some more of that. And then the second thing that happens when we're in true praise and worship and we're seeking the face of God, and this, I don't know, I guess everybody will agree with this, but it really, really happens, is evangelism happens. Because you can't be in the presence of God. You can't be around the presence of God and it not tug on your heart. People that say they don't believe in God, people that say that they don't think God's real, I'm telling them, they get in a worship atmosphere and something will happen inside of them. Do you know every person that has air in their lungs today, there is an unction of God in them for salvation? The Word tells us that. There is something in there. So what we have to do is get those people in an atmosphere where that unction can speak louder than their intellect. And when you get them around an atmosphere of praise and worship, we had a guy in Nashville that came to our church. Our church was large. This guy was the number one Elvis impersonator in the world. I'll never forget him. He sat behind me. His hair was jet black, slicked back always. He wore black, sometimes leather and sparkly breeches and black shirts unbuttoned down to here. And all this big chains and all this jewelry. And I mean, he looked like Elvis. He was freaky. But he was, he was very, very wealthy. He came to church in limousines. That's how much money he had. That's how good he is at doing that. But I'll never forget, he was sitting behind me in church, and I heard him begin to cry. And later, right at the end of that service, he came forward. There was a great salvation experience, obviously. He gave his testimony. He said, and this is the words he used. Don't get offended at me because it's the words he used. He said, that blonde chick singing, he said, I didn't know what she had, but I had to get some of it. He said, I watched her in the music and she was our worship leader. Her name was Paulette. And he said, that blonde chick singing, he said, I don't know what she was on, but he said, I watched her and said, I hadn't tried that one, but I'm going to get some of that. And he said, I knew it had to be some type of substance that she had. And later he began to learn that what made her the way she was the life of Jesus on the inside of her. And he got gloriously saved and a great transformation in his life. But anyway, I said all that to say that to us is that there's three ways that we seek the face of God: prayer, word study, and praise and worship. And twofold results, we begin to become conformed to the image of Christ, and we began to see an atmosphere where God can do some amazing things. Okay? Take your Bibles again and turn with me to John chapter 12. In verse 32, it says this. And this is Jesus speaking. He said, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples," this is what the New King James says, "will draw all peoples to myself." I believe in the King James version it says, "will draw all men unto me." But he says, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me, men and women, all peoples. That's what will happen. He said, if I be lifted up. And I had someone challenge me one time and said, "Well, don't you think that that verse was just meant that he'd be put on the cross and that would draw?" And, you know, that's true, because Christ was put on the cross. All men since that day have been drawn unto him. But the same thing happens in our worship and our praise. As we begin to lift up the name of the Lord, as we begin to lift up Jesus, there's something in the atmosphere that starts happening. And people that don't even know what's happening around them begin to get involved, or they begin to see that there's something greater than what they have, and it's Jesus. And so that happens. The word "lifted" there in the Greek is the word "hupso." It means to elevate, to exalt, and to lift up. And Jesus said, if I be elevated, lifted up, exalted, he said, I'll draw all men unto me. Now, run over real quick to John chapter 4. And I'm going to get right into actually what this is all introduction so far. But John chapter 4 and verses 23 and 24. Pastor hit on this the other day, and we're going to hit it and move from here real quick. It says, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." There's a whole lot in those two verses. There's just so many great things in those two verses. But he says, the hour is coming, and now is. Say, "And now is." That ought to be exciting for every one of us. It says, the hour is coming, and now is. This is the hour for this scripture to be fulfilled. You say, "Well, Mike, hadn't it been the hour for that scripture to be fulfilled beyond?" Yes, but it is now also. This is the hour when the Father is seeking. We've been talking about seeking him, but now we're seeing something. The Father is seeking those who'll come to worship him in spirit and in truth. As we begin to learn more about the things of God, as we begin to become more disciplined in our prayer and our word and our praise and worship, as we begin to seek his face and we understand he's seeking us. Now, I've said this the last time I preached. I think I said it just about every time I've preached. Do you know everything we've ever done toward God, he does back toward us in greater measure, because he's not going to be outdone. God is. We can't outdo him. So anytime you and I come to this place and we say, "Lord, I'm just coming to seek you," the word says he's seeking those who are doing that. And don't you know his seeking is a much greater seeking than ours is. And you can't outgive God. You can't give God your time, your attention, your voice, your money, your family, your job, your everything. You can't give it to him without him coming back towards you in greater measure. The word says what we give to him, he gives back to us in that portion. Or in that thing. If it's money, that's what's coming back. If it's time, that's what's coming back. Whatever it is we give to God. And in praise, the neatest thing about praise and worship is what we're giving to God is our love. I don't know about you guys, but I need the love of God. Amen. Life tries to tell me sometimes I don't deserve it. Life tries to tell me sometimes I've gone too far and I'm beyond it. Life tries to tell me sometimes that God's love has given up on me. But you know what? It's not true. You know, sometimes people will tell you that. They'll make signs and banners and do all kinds of things to try to convince that you're not where you need to be. But I'm telling you, if you're here today in this room, there's nothing you've ever done that's bigger than the love of God. So when we begin to seek the face of God, he said, the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will begin to worship the Father in spirit and truth. I was sharing with Pastor not too long ago, my daughter graduated in June. And I told him, and I said, I've made a decision. I said, the day my daughter graduates, I'm going to graduate my guilt. I'm going to graduate my guilt. Now see, God forgave me when I asked him to. But there's been some things in my life that I have had a hard time forgiving myself. and letting go of. And that day when she graduated, I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to give this to you. And I'm not going to feel guilty about being anymore. Anybody ever felt guilty about just because you are? I felt guilty because of just because I am. I mean, I was a preacher and I got a divorce. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things happened and, oh, you know, my guilt was so heavy. And every time I got around my children, I let it get heavier. And I said that day, I said, when she graduates, she's the last of my four children to finish high school. And I said, the day she graduates, I'm going to graduate my guilt. And he asked me about a week later, he said, did you do what you said? I said, I began. It's a process. I said, I began. That's exactly what he said to me. He said, well, that was an honest answer. I said, I began. And there's been times when I'll be driving down the street and all those thoughts will be bombarding my head. You no good thing, you. Why would you do anything? Yin, 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 yin. And then all of a sudden I'll stop and say, wait. I graduated that. I'm going on. I'm moving forward. I'm not staying back in that stuff anymore. There's some things that God wants to do and I'm going to do them. Amen. So I graduated my guilt. Now, why did I get out there on that? I was just talking about seeking the face of God. And so we, as we begin to seek the face of God, as we begin to hoopsoe the Lord Jesus, lift him up. Now, the word worshipers here in John chapter 4 is the word proskonetes. It means an adorer. This is what he's looking for. He's looking for an adorer. It means to fawn or to crouch, to prostrate oneself in homage, to do reverence to worship, to adore. Now, I don't know about you guys, but there's been some things in my life it's pretty easy to adore, but I'm beginning to learn and learning how to adore God. He's worthy. He's the only thing in my life worthy of adoring. And because once you get that right, then all the other things will fall into the right place. But as I begin to worship the Lord, as I begin to adore Him, to worship, to hoopso, and to proskonetes, then great things start happening. Now, I said all of that to say this to you. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. And if you don't get anything else I say today, and you get this, then it'll be worthwhile that we've been here together today. I wrote for a college class, a class on praise and worship. So I've got 10 hours of teaching that I'm doing in 40 minutes here. So that's why I'm trying, if I seem a little whatever, it's because I'm trying to make sure I get to this point. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26, it says this. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now, if we're going to worship the Father in spirit and truth, then this is the aspect of the Spirit that we need to understand becomes evidence in true praise. Pastor said last week that praise is about me and is what I receive from God, and worship is what God receives from me. And as he was thinking, I was thinking about this. In my understanding and in my experience with praise, praise is kind of the outer court experience with God. It's when we have our joyful songs and our clapping songs and our get up and go songs and our pumping up songs, our dancing songs, our exciting. And when you move more into worship, it gets a little bit slower, a little bit calmer sometimes pretty intense. But it gets like you move on into the inner place to be with God, and that's what worship does. And I've got a whole teaching on about worship, but I wanted to get to this one today about praise. And that is, I believe that praise is a demonstration of the character of God. And it says here, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and in King James it says temperance, or we can use the word self-control. Now, the more we become diligent to be praisers, the more we become diligent to enter the courts with thanksgiving and enter his gates with praise, the thing that we should be able to see more and more and more of is the fruit of the Spirit. So in an atmosphere of true praise, whether it be by myself or whether it be with the congregation, then there should be an expression of love in the room. There should be an expression of joy in the room. You can't get around true praisers and not get happy about it. Because there's something about what you see on their face. When Tim, the Elvis impersonator, he kept watching Paulette and he said, man, there's something that chick's on that I gotta have some. And he found out it was Jesus. Because he saw this joy unspeakable and full of glory that was on her life. And there's something about true praise. We begin to see love, joy, peace. Y'all, there's a whole lot of atmosphere out there that has no peace in it. But if you have a lack of peace, then the place we ought to see ourselves is as a place of praise. If there's a lack of peace, if I'm getting all uptight about the money because I find out that there's more months than there is money, I've got more bills than I've got money, instead of getting worried about it, I need to get in my praise closet. Lord, I'm just going to lift my hands to you and I'm going to praise you. I am not going to succumb to the depression and the oppression and the junk that this world tries to bring. No, I'm going to lift my hands and I'm going to praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if this is the way I leave this earth, then I've left in good standing. Hallelujah. And I'm going to allow the fruit of the Spirit to become expressed in my praise. Now, I went for a couple of years because I was trying to be conscious of the fruit of the Spirit expressed in my praise. And I would say, today I'm going to go to church and I'm going to see joy in my praise. And I'm telling you, the enemy will do everything he can to keep you out of it. Somebody will walk by you and give you that look and you go, oh, everybody hates me. Somebody will walk by you, somebody will pull out in front of you, and you'll say a bad word, you know, and you'll get all upset. And it's like everything tries to rob you of that, what you're trying to break through to do. And I know what it's like to be in a marriage where it seems like when you make a decision, you're going to have it all the way to church. You fight. And it's because it's trying to get you in a place. If we could just identify it for what it is, say, wait, let's stop this. We're on our way to church. We'll deal with this later. This will wait for later. Let's go to church. And let's choose that in our praise today, we're going to see joy. If nobody else is joyous today, I'm going to have joy. Because it's a fruit of the Spirit. And I'm going to worship the Father in spirit and truth. So if I'm going to worship the Father in spirit, there's a place today for the joy of the Lord to be expressed in my life. So I'm going to church today, and I'm going to worship God, and joy is going to come out of me if it's the last thing I do. Now, have you ever seen somebody in praise and worship going? There's not a lot of joy in that. And you see people standing there looking at the words. And you can see in their mind, they're thinking, I wish they'd hurry up and get this over with. When this is a lifeline to your life. It's a lifeline to our lives. And so we begin to see the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Long suffering, patience. I don't know you guys, but I'm thankful that God is patient with me. Amen. And you know, sometimes in my thinking, I'm thinking, God, if you are who you say you are and you're doing what you say you're doing, then why am I not seeing greater results? You know what, Lord? Today I'm going to go in praise and worship and I'm going to bust through this thing. If it's the last thing I do, I'm going to see patience released in my life. I'm not going to let the cares of this world hold me back from lifting my hands and honoring you today. Let the patience of God be evident in me. And in my natural, I don't have a whole lot of it. But God, you've got more than enough. So if the true worshiper is worshiping in spirit and truth, let's see some patience in this vessel today. All right? And sometimes you have to talk to your vessel. You ever have to do that? Vessel? Now look in the mirror. Vessel? You're a vessel of the Most High God. And I know you don't feel like worshiping today. But you're going to lay down the way you feel and you're going to worship God. If you don't, I'm not going to feed you today. And it's obvious this vessel likes getting fed. So we're going to see the fruit of this. We're going to see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Kindness. You know what I've learned about God? He's kind. He's not mean. He's not waiting for you to mess up so he can whoop you. He's not wasting. Did you ever grow up, and I had this with my children, so trip on it. You probably don't know about this, because I'm sure your daddy never had it. Whereas if you were doing something, all you had to look over daddy, and all you had to do is look at you. The evil eye. You know, sometimes we think because our earthly fathers and my daddy's evil eye would make you think you're going to die. I'll never forget one time my brothers and I were like 2 years apart. We were sitting on like the third row to the left at the Baptist church. And daddy and mama both are in the choir. And we're sitting there and we start pinching each other. And we're sitting there pinching each other because we think it's funny, you know. And all of a sudden, in the middle of service, my daddy stands up in the back pew of the choir. I'm telling you, we went. He came down out of that choir loft, right past the preacher, came over to the third row. He put two boys under one arm, one boy on the other, took us out in the front of the church and whooped us good. And that was the fear of my daddy. You don't mess up in church. But anyway, this evil eye would come. But you know what I've learned at God? He doesn't have an evil eye. He's kind. He's gentle. And the word says it's the love of God that draws men unto him. It's the love of God that draws men unto him. And I'm telling you, the more I learn about God, the more I find out he's not mad at me. He's not even disappointed in me. You know what? Because there's not a thing that's happened he didn't already know was going to happen. He knew it before the foundation of the world. And when I did it, you know what? He didn't fall off his chair throne and go, Mike did it now. All he's ever done is reach out with loving arms and say, come here, son. Come here, son. Come here. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they think. Come here. You're mine. That's all that matters. I sent my son 2,000 years ago to pay for you to get up again and come on. Get up again and come on. He's gentle. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, faithfulness. You know, faithfulness, the faithfulness of God. Let me tell you something. If you're not here, then the faithfulness of God is not evident. And I know we all got things that come, things that happen, but there are some folk that get up on Sunday morning and say, well, am I going to church today? Well, I'll just see if I feel like it. That's a lack of the fruit of the Spirit of faithfulness. But see, when you're here, and there's a lot of you folks, I don't even know your name, but when you're here and I'm here and we're pressing through in praise together, there's an element of faithfulness that goes across the room. And it makes all the difference. I've gone a whole week of working at my job without my boss, him. And I'm telling you, I missed him this week. It's not the same. And when you're not here for praise and worship, when I'm not here for praise and worship, and we're, there's an element of faithfulness, the faithfulness of God that is released in our behalf, that when we're in praise and worship, and let me say this, we see these things, and I'm telling you that the fruit of the Spirit, the evidence of the Spirit in our life, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faithfulness, temperance, and faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. These things are the fruit of the Spirit. They are what is evident. But when you and I come in here together, and maybe I don't feel like it, maybe you don't feel it, maybe you've had a hard week, then you come and get yourself in the middle of a bunch of praisers. And that fruit of that Spirit will wash over you. And if you need some of the love of God stirred in your life, get around some praisers. Because the love of God will roll off of them and roll on you. The peace of God. Man, life is trying to convince everybody to quit right now. The world is trying to say it's over. This is not going to get any better. You may as well just try to make it from day to day that it's not going to get any better. But I'm telling you what, you get around praisers and all of a sudden you start experiencing the fruit of the faithfulness of God. And you can say, Lord, I don't care what happens today. I'm here. I'm in the congregation. I'm experiencing your faithfulness. I'm experiencing your love, and I'm going to move forward. Amen. That's what happens when we're in true praise, is the fruit of the Spirit becomes evident, not only in our lives as individuals, but as a body. And if there's somebody in here that needs the love of God, the peace of God, man, life is whipping you. Come into praise and worship. Get in the midst of some worshipers and some praisers, and the peace of God will pass over you, and you'll find a peace that passes all understanding. I mean, there's been some times, if it hadn't been for the peace of God, I'd have taken a gun to my head. But the peace of God carried me through. The peace of God carried me through. There have been times when I've thought, Lord, there's just no way. And the Lord would say, begin to praise. Do you know that David, King David, this is one of my, I identify with David probably more than anybody. David, in this Bible, ended up in the cave of Adullam. The Bible says there were 400 men with him. And this is how the Bible describes those men. They were depressed. They were in debt. And they were despondent. Now, isn't that a bunch of good people you want to hang out with? 400 depressed, despondent, indebted men. That wouldn't be a whole lot of fun. But you know, some of the greatest psalms that we read were written by King David in the cave of Adullam. He began to say things like this. I bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, I will bless your holy name. And history tells us, the Bible tells us, that when those men came out of that cave after being hung up in there with David, they came out and they became known as the mighty men of valor. There are some of those guys in battles. One man was taking out 2,000 people in fight. Because there was something about getting around a praiser that got on them. They began to get out of their depression, get out of their despondency, and get out of their worry about their indebtedness. And began to become praisers. See, praise is an expression of the character of God. If you said to me, what is God really like? I'd say, let's go to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Because if you wanted a picture of God, then you understand first and foremost, God is love. God is love. God is, what is the next one? Joy. God is joy. God is peace. This is the character of God. If I could draw a picture, what I'd want you to see in that picture is not a face, but I'd want you to see love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. Gentleness and self-control. That's the character of God. If you wanted something you can depend upon, the fruit of the Spirit is the character of God. God is. This is what God is. And our praise, our exciting worship, our dancing, our liberty in the music, our clapping of our hands, the faster music, the more uplifting music, our praise should be always a demonstration of the character or the fruit of the Spirit of God. And that's why I said, if you didn't get anything else I said and you got this, it's worthwhile being here today. Because this is the truth. This is the character of God. And if you need peace, find yourself in praise. Find yourself in praise. I've shared this with you before. My children are all musical. They all the boys play the guitar. My daughter sings. Y'all got to see her dance on Father's Day. She's a wonderful dancer. But they're all praise and worshipers. When we made a move from one church to another, not too long, well, it's been several years ago, the praise and worship at this particular church was different from what we had been used to. In their minds, they said to me, I don't like the music in this church. And I said, well, what is it about it you don't like? They said, well, it's too country. And I said, I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. I was born and raised in Nashville, Tennessee. Don't tell me something's too country. But that's what they say, it's too country. And I said, well, let me ask you this. Because the music is too country, then you're telling me you can't worship God? No, I can't worship God. I just don't like it. And I said, then your worship is contingent upon the style of music. And they stop and think about it. And I said, because if your worship is contingent upon the style, it's not worship, it's performance. So, you know, the truth of the matter is, if we've got a great piano player, or if we've got a mediocre, or if we've got a bad piano player, what matters to us is not what the music sounds like. You know, and I'm not pointing any fingers or saying anything. You may look up there, look at those words and say, I don't know a song they sang, I learned a long time ago, I'm not moved by what it sounds like. I'm not moved by whether I know the music. I'm going to learn it as fast as I can. And sometimes I sing, and y'all, I'm loud wherever I am. If somebody's around me, they're going to hear me singing. I can try to be quiet, and my voice carries. It's just the way it happens. And I may sing the wrong notes. I may sing it, but my worship is not contingent upon the music. My worship is contingent upon the fact that I am a vessel of the Spirit of God and the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, and the self-control of God can be evident in me whether I know the music or not. Whether it's country, whether it's pop, whether it's classical, whether it's whatever. I went to a church before I came here, that everything there is high church. And y'all, I sat and wept through the music. I just wept. The music was so beautiful to me. And I just said, Lord, I'm just going to worship you with this high church music. Big old pipe organ just singing away. And I know a lot of people can't stand that stuff. But see, I'm not moved by the flavor of the music. I'm moved by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He's worthy of my praise. And when I come into the house to praise Him, I'm going to exude from me love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Oh, I don't like it. Well, get over it. They didn't sing that song like we sang it back at the first church. We're not at the first church. Hallelujah. They didn't do it like I did it at the last church. But I'm not moved by those things. I'm moved because I was born to praise. And the Father is seeking such. Man, I don't want the Lord to come in here looking around and say, now I'm going to see who's praising me today. And pass up Mike because Mike's standing there like a lump on a log. Man, I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to praise Him with all I've got. And I want the love of God to go forth. Because you know what? If it's coming out and I'm giving it to Him, He's giving it back in greater measure. You can't outdo Him. That's the kind of God we serve. You can say, well, God, I don't have much joy left. Then give Him what joy you've got. Sometimes we used to say this, start out in the flesh and you'll end up in the Spirit. Just give Him what you got. Amen. You know, sometimes I would teach my children about behavior and they'd say, I don't feel like it. I said, I don't care what you feel like it, you're going to behave. And if we say, well, I'm going to praise God according to the way I feel, then 9 times out of 10, we're going to come here because the enemy's going to see to it you don't feel like praising. That's right. But you see, when I get my mind off the way I feel and I start thinking about the fruit of the Spirit, that praise is an expression, is a demonstration of the character which is the fruit of the Spirit of God, then it makes all the difference. Take one a week. Say, next week I'm going to go to church and I'm going to release joy if it's the last thing I do. I'm going to release peace if it's the last thing I do. Have you ever been around someone and they were just worshiping the Lord and you just see the peace of God just saturating them? And my encouragement for you is go stand next to them. If you can't get it, just go stand next to them. So Mamie's always got peace of God. Just go stand next to me. You won't care, will you? Most of the time, she wouldn't even know you're there. She's liable to slap backhand you just in her worship. And I'm going to say this and I'm going to quit. The thing that I wanted you to get more than anything today was that praise is a demonstration of the character of God. The character of God is the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians 5:22. Worship is a demonstration of the nature of God. In worship, there are things about God that are expressed in worship that we will never obtain into because it's God and He is God and those things are only going to be evident into Him. And I'm going to really quick run through those things because I'm not going to preach on them and tell you what they are. Number one is His omniscience. His omniscience. O-M-N-I-S-C-I-E-N-C-E. And that's the divine attribute of perfect knowledge. Do you know God has perfect knowledge here? And nobody knows more than God knows. He has perfect knowledge. The neat thing about that to me is I know God knows my heart. I might have messed up this week some. I might have done some things that weren't real pleasing to God. But I know one thing. He's omniscient. He knows my heart. He knows I'm headed toward the right place. Amen. The second thing about is God's life. To say that the Father is Spirit is to say that He is the absolute and only source of life. The next one is God's omnipresence. He's everywhere all the time. I don't care where you're running, you can't run far enough to get away from God. I don't care where you are, you're not far enough to be away from God. The next one is His omnipotence. Absolute power. He is able to do everything that is harmony with His wise and holy and perfect nature. I'm hurrying through these because I don't want to preach on these. I just want to tell you. The next one is His holiness. His holiness. The next one is His eternity. God is eternal. And the last one is His transcendency. He transcends everything. He's bigger. He's better. He's more. I don't care what it is. God can go beyond that. His transcendency. That's the nature of God. And worship is an expression of the nature of God. But today the important thing is that praise is a demonstration of the character of God. The character of God is Galatians 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. And when the Father is seeking, what is He looking for? He's looking for an expression of His character. It says the Father is seeking such that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. So what is the level or what is the measure that He's looking for? He's looking for the fruit of the Spirit to come back. He's looking for the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, and self-control. He's looking for that. See, self-control, temperance, that's a good one. That means that I can, beyond the way I feel, tell myself, you're going to praise today, boy. You're going to line up with the Word of God and you're going to praise today. You're going to press through this thing and you're going to praise. A few weeks ago, I was down in the dumps. I got up and cried like a baby in front of you folks. I was hurting. Now, I came back there and I stood back in my seat and that praise and worship, my lip just quivering because I was crying. But I praised. I said, God, I'm going to praise You. If I don't have any way to get anywhere tomorrow, I'm going to praise You. And I pressed through that thing. And that very week, somebody called me and said, you know somebody needs an automobile? And I said, yeah. And God gave me a car. I mean, didn't give me a car, but worked it out where I had an automobile. God did that for me. And He didn't do it because I sat back there and said, well, I just give up and I'm going to quit. You know, a pastor told me this one time. He said, why would you ever give up on God? He said, when you're at the most impossible moment of your life, that's when you ought to put your party hat on and get your little whistles to blow because you're going to round that corner and there's your answer. And wouldn't it be terrible if you quit before you rounded the corner? Don't quit before you round the corner. Press through. Be a worshiper. God's seeking a worshiper. He's seeking those who are going to worship Him in spirit and truth. Church, today, I choose to be one of those. Do you agree with me? Do you choose to be a worshiper? Do you choose to be a praiser? Amen. We're going to praise Him. We're going to praise Him. There's a scripture that says, seven times I will praise You. I tried to figure out how could you get seven times in a day that I'm going to praise You. And this is what I came up with. First thing in the morning, to start the day with your favorite scripture song or singing until the spiritual river starts flowing. Mid-morning, take time out for a praise vacation. Lunchtime, spend 10 minutes alone praising His name. Mid-afternoon, take another praise vacation. Dinner time, try this sometime. Sing over your meal. Sing over your meal. Again, you know, and I love this about the Word, is God's not interested in how it sounds. The Word says that our praise comes up to Him as a sweet smell. God, I might not can sing good, but I hope this smells good to You. Mid-evening, turn off the TV and worship together as a family. And then at bedtime, kneeling, pacing, sitting, or lying down, sing your thanksgiving to the Lord while you're falling asleep. And I walked in that bedroom, I walked in the den the other night, and I looked over, my daughter's laying there, her eyes wide open. I thought something was wrong. She said, Daddy, I'm praying. Wow. She's getting it. I walked in got up that morning, looked down the end of the hall, and there was my dad sitting on that sofa reading His Word. He's getting it. I was laying in the bed that night, had the headphones on, could hear Phil Driscoll singing, Sing Hallelujah. to the Lord. And church, I was getting it. I was getting it. These things will take you to the next level of your life. These things will sustain you when all hell is purposefully coming to knock you down. These things will get you through so you can be here next week to get something else to go forward with. I don't know about you guys, but there's not been a Sunday I haven't sat in this sanctuary that I didn't get something to take away for my week. People can use whatever excuse they want, but if you're walking in the fruit of the Spirit, you're going to get something before you walk out of these doors. Amen. Would you stand with me? Father, I thank you for these folks that are here today. And I thank you, Lord, that in our lives, we're learning, we're experiencing, we're disciplining ourselves to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. It's our desire, Lord, that as you are seeking such who are worshiping you, that when you come by this place, that, Lord, you're going to find a whole bunch of us seeking you. The Lord, when you look down in my home in the morning when I get up, you're going to find praise. The Lord, when we're about our day in the work, that we're not letting life get to us. We're pressing through that. And you're going to find us taking a praise break just to honor you. That, Lord, when we're at that place and life is so difficult, that, Lord, you're going to see we're not moved by circumstances. We're moved by the Spirit and the character of God. That, Lord, you are making a difference in our lives. And our prayer is, Lord, that we'd make a difference for you. That you'd be honored. That as we worship and as we praise, God, I just want to bring a smile to your lips. A smile to your lips. I just want to bring a place that your eyes light up because you know I'm up again. And it makes you happy. Lord, just like my children used to greet me at the door, Lord, I want you to feel what I felt when they would greet me like that. Because I've come to worship and to praise you today. To lift my hands, to lift my voice, to clap, to dance, to sing, to shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. To be silly sometimes, Lord, just to be in your presence. I love you, Lord. I praise you. I honor you. Would you just give just a few minutes today? Let's just vocally praise Him. Lord, I thank you. I praise you, Lord. I honor you today. I love you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. There's some of you folks, you've never done this before. Just begin to thank Him. If you can't think of anything else, say hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let that thing break through. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that this is the day that you have made, and I'll be glad and I'll rejoice in it. I thank you, Lord, that you are the author and the finisher of my faith. I thank you, Lord, that you are the great I am, that you are wonderful, you're marvelous, you're incredible, you're awesome, Lord. You're incredible, and I love you, and I thank you for that today. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. That's all it is, church. Just begin to honor Him. Just begin to honor Him. Just begin to honor Him. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that your faithfulness is so greater than ours. And that every step we take toward you, you come back at us in greater measure. Would you be honored by our praise? Would you be honored by the words of our lips? Oh, we love you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen.